Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Investments. Complicated? Not when you talk to a financial broker about a Zurich investment plan.
First this afternoon, though, recipients of the pandemic unemployment payment and other welfare benefits will now be able to travel abroad without having their pay stopped. It comes after revelations that the government halted the PUP payment to more than 100 people who had travelled abroad following checks at airports. But this afternoon, another climb down from the new administration. The Social Protection Minister, Heather Humphreys, now says that people can go abroad to green list countries without losing their entitlements. The opposition has labelled the situation a shambles. Our reporter Barry Lenehan is here. Take us through what's happened today, Barry.
Yeah, another day, another U-turn, another embarrassment for a senior government minister. The Social Protection Minister, Heather Humphreys, under the spotlight since Sunday when it emerged 104 people had their PUP payment rescinded because they were found to be boarding a flight abroad. Social welfare officers reportedly checking if people leaving through Dublin Airport, the pandemic payment, remember, €350 for anyone who lost their job due to the pandemic, 250,000 people estimated to be in receipt, and another 44 people also had other payments such as child benefit and job seekers cut also for travelling abroad. On Monday, Minister Humphreys defended her policy. She doubled down yesterday, but it emerged she introduced new rules against PUP recipients travelling abroad 2 weeks ago, and this was never discussed at Cabinet. Criticism has come thick and fast, the legality of the minister's move called into serious doubt. And so after yesterday's government climb down on super junior ministerial pay, Minister Heather Humphreys made a statement to the Dáil shortly before noon.
Two of them depict ancient.
I have listened to the concerns expressed in recent days in relation to people whose payment was stopped due to the fact that they were travelling abroad on a holiday. And I know that there are cases where people may have travelled abroad and genuinely not been aware of the travel guidance or criteria which applied to PUP. And I accept that my department could have communicated more effectively on this issue. For that reason, I have directed the department to review all cases to date where people who went on holiday and had their payment stopped. I have now asked my officials to amend the regulations so that people on job seekers who wish to travel to any of the countries on the green list can do so and continue to receive their payment. For countries that are not on the green list, persons can travel for essential reasons only. I intend to sign regulations that will bring the PUP payment in line with job seekers. That will mean persons on PUP can travel to green list countries and their payment will not be impacted.
So if you're getting the PUP payment or if you're on job seekers, you can now go to the casino in Monte Carlo and have a flutter without getting the pay docked. But that is not the end of the matter, is it?
There are still many questions here over what happened. And indeed, for those who did have their pay rescinded, sharp exchanges on the foot of Minister Humphrey's statement during leaders' questions at the Dáil, the Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald putting these queries to the Taoiseach.
I asked you yesterday to state the legal basis for government actions, inspections at our airport, sourcing information from those travelling abroad. It seems to me that you acted outside the law.
Thank you, Deputy MacDonald.
Yesterday you said that you favour a review of those cases where people have had their money stopped. So I want to ask you, who will carry out that review? When will that review take place? And will people get their money back?
The Taoiseach said the government was not out to get anyone, and Micheál Martin urged Mary Lou MacDonald to have a bit of perspective.
MacDonald loves throwing accusations about the place and assertions in relation to this government's overall policy. And the evidence that she's basing her claims on is on the basis that perhaps as few as 100 people over the last 5 months have had pandemic unemployment payments suspended because of overseas holidays. But I also believe there's a need for honesty and a degree of perspective in relation to that debate. And all we're getting from the Deputy is play-acting. And you're deliberately undermining what has been a genuine effort to reach out to people who have lost their jobs as a result of the pandemic.
However, the Rise TD Paul Murphy noted how Micheál Martin failed to answer Mary Lou MacDonald's queries and called the entire situation a shambles.
Taoiseach, the situation around the discrimination against PUP recipients is a shambles. It's a shambles that is worthy of this government. 10 minutes before leaders' questions began, the minister was in here announcing what sounded like at least a partial U-turn on the policy. It leaves PUP recipients wondering, has this discrimination been ended? But after Deputy MacDonald asked about this issue, we got 5 minutes of speechifying from the Taoiseach about everything other than this issue.
One controversy would be enough, but they still haven't resolved the ministerial perks controversy, have they?
This is in relation to the Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney and his entitlement to a state car with a Garda driver worth costing €200,000 a year to the Exchequer. Remember, the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach, the Justice Minister, the only trio supposed to be entitled to those. Labour leader Alan Kelly has had a series of questions over the sequencing of this decision and how it came about, and he resumed those questions with the Taoiseach this afternoon.
So now you have a minister going around in a Garda car which is costing €200,000 a year without permission because there's no government decision. I want to ask you two specific issues about this. One, in the letter that was sent to me which said the Secretary General of your department wrote to this, or rang, sorry, the Secretary General of the Department of Justice who rang the Garda Commissioner, were you aware of that and did you give him permission to do so? Because it would be deeply concerning if you did not. And secondly, where did you ever hear of an audit on the security of a government minister be given orally over the phone to justify
this? Thank you, Deputy Kelly.
First of all, this communication happened before I became Taoiseach. The security assessment is that it is appropriate the security assessment from the Gardaí to justice is that he should retain it on security grounds, and I'm not getting involved in terms of any security appraisal. The government did not take a decision in relation to it.
How's this going down within the government party, specifically within Fine Gael, with their own Minister Heather Humphreys so firmly in the firing line, Barry?
Hard one to know. Fine Gael TD's busy over the last 48 hours or so promoting the government's spend and stay initiative and encouraging people to holiday in Ireland.
If horses are your thing, why not pop out to the equestrian centre? Unwind and connect with nature. So make sure when you're gone on holiday that you avail of the new scheme to get funds back on your food or accommodation. For more information, visit finegael.ie, and I look forward to seeing you, maybe around Galway and Roscommon. Talk to you soon. Come on, Flash.
So just to remind you, you have fantastic facilities here, both Clontarf, the sea around you, sailing. So if you're coming for a staycation, why not try this area here on the East Coast? I'm off for a swim. I hope you'll join me soon.
Listening there to Senator Aisling Dolan on horseback in Ballinasloe, and Richard Bruton, the 67-year-old former minister, the father of the Dáil, first elected in February 1982, going for a swim, and his swimming attire has been lauded by many on social media today, notably his abs. The former Taoiseach Tánaiste Leo Varadkar saying, "Don't let Richard's beach bod put you off availing of the initiative." Others hailing him as Beefcake Bruton. However, Fine Gael TD's noted radio silence today on the airwaves on several programmes, and no defence yet of the Minister Heather Humphreys. How will this go down within their fellow government parties, the Green Party and Fianna Fáil in particular, given the Fianna Fáil leader forced to answer questions about that climb down by Heather Humphreys? A Fianna Fáil parliamentary party meeting due to kick off after 5:30.
The biggest shock here, though, being I don't think that the country was ready in 2020 for Richard Bruton's beach bod. It's definitely been the most commented upon aspect of the
More
day.
More abs than some parties have TDs, noted some.
Indeed. Barry Lenehan, thank you very much. 5:06, you're listening to Drive Time with Philip Boucher-Hayes. So, as we've been reporting, the government has been forced into another U-turn on the pandemic unemployment payment, or PUP. As of this afternoon, those in receipt of welfare benefits will be able to travel to green list countries without having their pay docked. This follows days of confusion and mixed messages from government benches after we heard accounts on this radio station of people whose payments were suspended for going abroad with no warning whatsoever that this would happen. In a moment, we'll get political reaction. But first, David Kenny, Assistant Professor of Law in Trinity College Dublin and a member of the COVID-19 Law and Human Rights Observatory in Trinity, is with me in studio. start with first principles here and stopping people at all and on what basis you can do it. What does reasonable grounds mean, and do you believe that they had reasonable grounds for stopping people leaving the country?
Yeah, in terms of what the social welfare law requires, it's really not clear whether or not there was a legal basis for denying people payments because people decided to leave the country. What the government tried to do here, what the Department of Social Protection tried to do here, was essentially issue a circular, which is like a sort of memo that the department might send round about their sort of view of the law and how they intend to enforce it. And essentially that circular said that they would deny people certain social welfare payments, including the pandemic unemployment payment, if people left the state. But it's not entirely clear they had a legal basis to do that, that the rules on this weren't actually necessarily properly changed. There's reports that have come out in recent days of this being done as early as May. And if the rules were changed in return in respect of the pandemic unemployment payment, they were changed very recently. So it's really not clear if there was a solid legal basis for any of this. And I think the first thing that has to be made absolutely clear is what was the legal basis and was it sufficient?
But we were told that since 2012, there has been a legal basis for investigators in the Department of Social Protection to approach people and to ask them questions about their welfare arrangements and payments and entitlements and so on.
Yes.
Is approaching every single person queuing to get on a flight to Romania reasonable grounds?
Oh, yeah, that's a real question as well. So there is powers in the Social Welfare Act to stop and question people, but there's a lot of requirements for when you can do that. First of all, there has to be a social welfare inspector with a guard or an immigration officer. There has to be multiple designated people. It has to be in respect of a reasonable belief about the acts, the Social Welfare Acts being breached. And you have a great question as to how they thought that everyone getting on a plane was potentially doing that. And also, it's not entirely clear, particularly in respect of the pandemic unemployment payment, whether or not there's any power to investigate at all, because the power is to investigate breaches of the social welfare acts, and the pandemic unemployment payment isn't mentioned in any social welfare act at all. It's been done on the basis of a scheme with no statutory basis. So
well,
I think there's
it will have a statutory basis now when Michael D signs the bill that was passed last night, but at the moment
which
it
is,
still doesn't.
Exactly, which is very welcome, and I think it has to go on a statutory basis for all sorts of reasons of clarity. Mm-hmm. But up to this point, there's been no statutory basis whatsoever.
So up until this point, if they wanted to, they could have said anybody whose name begins with R won't be getting this payment, and they would be quite entitled to do so.
That would certainly, I think, be the claim, because it was an administrative scheme. But the problem is you don't get to run your administrative schemes in any which way whatsoever. There are principles of constitutional administrative law you have to comply with, and you can't arbitrarily deny people entitlements. It has to be based on some sort of reasonable grounds, and you have to inform people. And it's not clear that people were informed about this requirement, if it was a requirement at all of the scheme.
And the man who was on the flight to Romania, Roman Shorthall, said that he had initially been approached by investigators from the department, declined to answer their questions because he was quite entitled to say no, thank you very much, and was then, he says, stopped by Gardaí, who said that they wanted to inspect his passport, mm-hmm. not that they wanted to talk to him and get information for their colleagues in Department of Social Protection. If that is indeed what happened, did the Gardaí misrepresent themselves there?
I think that is a problem, because my reading of the Social Welfare Acts is that you have to have a guard and a social welfare inspector to ask questions about people's compliance with the Act. So gathering people's information to then investigate it by another means, be that by a guard acting alone, a guard purporting to investigate something else, or indeed, you know, people gathering data in other ways, which has been discussed as a possibility as well, that would all be very concerning, because then there'd be real questions about whether or not that data was gathered lawfully and properly, and whether or not the proper rules on data protection and, you know, general sort of breaches of privacy rights were complied with in those cases.
To which we can now add the concern that arises from somebody who was going to board a ferry in Rosslare, but never actually got on it, but yet found themselves being docked their welfare payment. One can only assume, and we have to get confirmation on this, but one can only assume that the information about their travel intentions was passed or taken from Rossall Airport or from the ferry service to the department. Does that amount to a breach of privacy?
Yeah, I have to say I'm not aware of any legal power that would allow the state to have used records from travel providers to enforce the Social Welfare Acts. Maybe the department believes they have that power, but there is certainly no lawful basis that I am aware of that would grant it. And in that case, it would be unclear to me how that data was gathered lawfully or was gathered with necessity and proportionality, which are the requirements of the General Data Protection Regulation and other EU law requirements.
Am I summarising our conversation correctly when I say that in answer to every single thing that you have answered and tried to be very helpful here, you've had to say so far it's unclear to you or you don't know or it might be illegal?
So I have to say this is an exceptionally complicated sort of body of law, and the department has not been terribly clear about the provisions they've been relying on. I've had great difficulty from their statements getting to what they think that they are relying on. Having investigated the Social Welfare Acts and the legal basis they think they're operating on, I would say I would have significant concerns. But I also think it would be incumbent on the department to make exceptionally clear what their legal basis is so we can determine whether or not their view of it is correct. My view upon reading the law is that it's not at all clear that there is a good lawful basis for this.
And one other big issue here is expecting people to comply with rules that you have never told them existed. It's certainly unfair. It would at least appear to be a breach of social contract. It's smacks of incompetence, but is there anything illegal about it?
Well, so it certainly violates those set of principles that we call the rule of law, the idea that you're entitled to live under a set of laws that are publicly available, written down, clear and known to you. And in not publicising this requirement, again, if it was a requirement, those principles were unquestionably breached. Another problem with breaching the rule of law in this is whether or not the Department of Social Protection should be involved in enforcing public health measures at all. The circular that they wrote, essentially starting all this off, said that the purpose behind it was to assist in limiting travel and enforcing sort of a quarantine arrangement through social welfare law. And it's not clear that's the job of the department. That's not a job they've ever been given in law. And if you are going to use the power that you have been given in law, you should use it for the purpose you have been given it. And if we think that social welfare inspectors should be helping us enforce public health requirements, we need to give them some statutory basis for that. And I don't think they have that at the moment. So I would be concerned they are acting certainly outside of what their lawful powers seem to be.
I wonder, would somebody stopped in a queue at Dublin Airport and questioned publicly and openly about their welfare entitlements in a way that might lead other passengers to believe that they were possibly welfare frauds or welfare cheats, would there be a case for a possible defamation there?
I think there would probably be defences that might be available insofar as if you did have a statutory power to...
Defences available to the government, you mean?
Yes, exactly. Yes, to the person asking the questions, to the person who is allegedly doing the defaming, because you believed or maybe you had a power to investigate this. So even if it was defamatory, there might be possibilities of defence there.
But we know that it's at least grey as to whether they had reasonable grounds approaching anybody in these queues.
Yes.
There's
potentially a defence of qualified privilege if you believe that you had a duty to make those inquiries, even if you might have been mistaken. So there might be some significant defence there for the person asking the questions in any event.
A duty to make those inquiries, it's perilously close to only following orders, isn't it?
It is in that case, yes.
All right, David Kenny, stay with us if you would like to. I want to also talk to Claire Curran, spokesperson for Social Protection, Sinn Féin TD for Roscommon and Galway. Pretty big U-turn today, but is it now a more equitable and fair system, Claire?
Well, look, I think we do have to welcome this U-turn by government today. You know, it does mean that those on the PUP, through no fault of their own, of course, we do have to remember these are workers who have lost their jobs because of COVID-19. They'll no longer be targeted. And, you know, it was always wrong and it will always be wrong to target and punish one cohort of people. It's not the first time Fine Gael have done this, but, you know, this is a welcome U-turn because at no stage should any one cohort of people be targeted.
But we were told, weren't we, that some 500 people who were in receipt of social welfare payments that were leaving the country and not coming back, so they weren't entitled to those payments, were stopped. Back of an envelope calculation, that's 2.2 million saved by the end of the year.
Yes, and that's absolutely fine. And really, if people are permanently leaving the country, they should be informing the department. And we have no issue with that at all. And those permanently leaving the state shouldn't retain that payment. And that's absolutely fine. But the issue, and you've already discussed it, is we know of situations where Gardaí have approached individuals in airports. And in one case, and it was discussed on Liveline recently, was that they were checking for immigration. So if people do have the job and if Gardaí are tied into this job in the airport, they should at least be clear with people when they're coming up, tapping them on the shoulder, what they're actually looking for, and not be have this pretense that it's immigration or something else.
I know, but 2.2 billion euro is being spent here. And if somebody's inconvenienced for a few moments by having to answer some questions in a queue at Dublin Airport, frankly, what of it? Because the taxpayer is on the line for a huge bill.
Yes, absolutely. And I again, I understand in relation to people permanently. But the issue here is, again, we don't know. We don't actually even know if there's a legal basis for stopping people in the airport. That we know in the 2012 legislation, there is reference to inspections at airports and ports. But there are a number of conditions in relation to that. And one is that the social welfare inspector is there and that they identify themselves. That's not been happening. There's clearly been a very quick and a very fast ramping up of inspections at airports. People aren't getting the correct information when they are being stopped. And again, you know, it's almost scary really for those people. And again, the gentleman, one of many that was called into the Liveline show, you know, he got a letter when he came back to the country to say the flight destination, the flight number, the date, the time. And again, there's still no clarity whether there is actually a legal basis for this to go on at all. I know FLAC have been out today. They've raised questions on this. And I really would like to hear from the Data Protection Commissioner on this as well. I think her advice will be really important at this moment in time. And I know my party have communicated with her. I'd really like to hear her views on this.
Which issue specifically have you communicated with her on? Because the new case of the passenger travelling or intending to travel from Rosslare but not actually leaving the country certainly raises a lot of questions.
It absolutely does. And I think what we really need to know first and foremost is there a legal basis there to stop people in airports and ports in the manner of which has been happening since March, by all accounts? Is there a legal basis for that to happen? And we need clarity on that. Really, we should have clarity on that by now. I mean, this has been going on now for a number of days. And remember, this all came about because the tarnish that went on to the Week in Politics and clearly stated that the Department of Social Protection were getting their information from the airports. Now, of course, Dublin Airport were quick to come out to say that was not the case. But that's where this initially all came about. And we know that ministerial order was done very quietly on July 10th as well. So there's a lot of questions to be answered here. But paramount is the legal basis for stopping people in airports, tapping them on the shoulder and looking for their information.
It's 20 past five on Wednesday. All the government has to do is make it 48 hours and just ducking and running for cover on this. Then they're going to be out the gate, aren't they?
Yes, and I'd say they're very anxious to get out the gate. And I'd say there's many government TDs looking forward and probably very glad that recess is just around the corner. You know, they've stumbled from one disaster to the next. And, you know, in relation to the Department of Social Protection, this really has been a communication disaster. For those people out there that are relying on this payment from week to week, again, they're workers. They're not scamming the system. You know, they're workers. They've lost their job and they need this support. And we also know another issue that's coming down the line, and it was discussed last night, is this new condition for them to be seeking work. And there's a lot of ramifications for that as well.
Yes, I mean, it's all very catch-all and very broad, this use of the term seeking work, because there's obviously huge numbers of people who are expecting to return to work, but they have to wait to get the call from their employers. Is it not fair enough, though, that as a general point of principle, we would expect you to be making yourself available for work, even if your employer hasn't given you the nod yet?
Well, the first issue with that is, I mean, if I'm employed by somebody, I have a contract of employment and I don't know if I'm going back or not, how am I to seek alternative employment? You know, there are issues of I mean, there's employment contract issues there for a start. And the other issue is this, Cormac, or Philip, I come from Roscommon, Galway, you know, alternative jobs, it's not that simple of just going out and getting another job. But, you know, there's a lot of bar workers out there. Their pubs haven't reopened. They'll be returning. You know, there's a lot of cohorts of people that it's just not that simple to go and find another job. And I asked the minister how many people are on the PUP where their workplace hasn't reopened yet, so therefore will apparently be exempt from seeking work. And she wasn't able to give me that figure, but there will be a cohort that their workplace hasn't reopened. They will return to work. You know, these are working people. You know, they will go and get alternative employment if their workplace doesn't reopen. I don't think this condition was necessary, and I don't think it was fair. We did put in an amendment to remove it. The government wouldn't accept that.
Claire Curran, thank you very much. David Kenny, last word to you.
So yeah, I think that this question of the working from home thing is interesting because, as the FLAC opinion noted, if people are sort of furloughed, they don't know if they can seek employment. If they're working from home, can you seek employment in that context? I think there has to be real clarity as to what being available for work means in a sort of a pandemic context if we're going to make this a requirement of the payment.
David Kenny, Assistant Professor of Law in Trinity College, and Claire Curran, Spokesperson for Social Protection in Sinn Féin. Thank you both very much. We'll take another break.